How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Today I'm joined by Liam as we talk through the Geelong Cats preview. Liam, how's it going?
Pretty good. Feeling like we're making our way through most of the preseason now. It's starting to feel real that the season is actually just around the corner.
Yeah, I start to look a few weeks in the future and I'm like, oh, and that's the week an AFLW starts. So it's getting close. Geelong, Will's team, why don't you give us a little run view of how they did last season?
Yeah, they were a surprise entrant into the finals last year. So they made it to a prelim final where they unfortunately lost. But with 6 wins and 4 losses, they did a pretty remarkable effort to get to where they did. It was as much as that came at the cost of my Bombers getting housed in a elimination final down at GMHBA, they were definitely an impressive team to watch last year.
Yeah, and in terms of their ins and outs into the coming season, they've had a couple of movements recently, even as recent as last month. But why don't you run us through all of their changes?
Yes, it's actually a surprisingly small list. It's probably the smallest we've had at any point this preseason. So Bella Smith was traded from Brisbane to Geelong, and then that's it for their actual player additions through free agency. Outside of that, they drafted Chantel Mason and Brady O'Rourke in the draft, and then retirement replacement player Lily Pierce has come across previously on Richmond's AFLW list last year and then having played for Collingwood in the VFLW this year. In terms of their outs, Renee Gehring retired, having made a pretty impressive effort to make it back to AFLW level last year. But the big one we've got to talk about is Erin Hoare, who during the preseason decided that she was going to step away from football. So that's a massive out when you then consider that another player who is out for the season with work is Liv Fuller, meaning that that's the two primary rucks from last season now off Geelong's list. And outside of that, there wasn't a particularly large set of player movements. The only one player who did play a decent number of games last season who's no longer playing is Annabelle Johnson, who has gone across to West Coast.
Yeah, there are major outs being both in the ruck line. It's going to make it pretty interesting this season, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about the rucks in the episode to come. But actually, let's kick it 100%. Off with a ruck interview. We've been lucky enough to have an interview with Kate Darby. Will was super stoked about this. Let's jump over to that now.
G'day everyone, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Geelong Cats superstar Kate Darby. Kate, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Will. I'm excited to be here with you.
I'm very excited as well, being a big Cats man. And Geelong had a very exciting season last year, came within a kick of a grand final. How's the excitement level down at the Cattery for this upcoming season?
Oh, yeah, really good, I think, especially now that it's finally getting closer. It's been a very long off-season. Pre-season feels long in certain times, but it's gone pretty fast, I think, considering. But, no, I think everyone's really really keen to gear up now that we're getting closer to some prackies. So, no, everyone's really keen to get into the season for sure.
Yeah, and I guess with such a successful season last year, has there been much talk about, you know, how you went last year coming so close to making the grand final? Is there much internal expectation or pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I think internally we weren't surprised by last year. We were happy with how the season went, but there's obviously still so many areas that we feel like we can improve still. And we knew that we were heading in that direction. We knew that we could start to take it up to those stronger teams. So now I think, I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is to win a premiership. So that's obviously our goal. But I mean, as you're coming into a specific season, your goal is just to play the footy that you want to play as a team, what you've practiced, what you've put together, what we've built over the last 3 years. So put some good footy out there. And then also we really want to keep challenging those stronger teams. I mean, you know, we still haven't beat North, we still haven't beat Adelaide. So we want to make sure that, you know, we put our stamp on the game and make ourselves really competitive with those teams. And what comes off the back of it in terms of how the end of the season goes for us, we'll just, we take it, The classic cold, take it a week at a time. But
For
it
sure.
really, it's how it has to be, because there's just so many different things that can happen throughout a year, and we're just really hoping to put some strong footy together, to be honest.
I think one of the things that's been really good for Geelong is you've had a fair bit of continuity in the playing group. There hasn't been too many list changes over the last couple of years. You've got a coach who's been there for a decent amount of time now. So I'm guessing that continuity really helps those preparations as well.
Yeah, definitely. When you've got a core group that, it's the expectations of around the club and training and games and what's, expected from you off season, in season, pre-season, like we all are on the same boat. We've all got the same goals. We know where we want to get to as a group. Everyone gets along really well. And so it's like you not like no one wants to leave. The club's heading in really good trajectory at the moment. So it's a place that you want to be a part of. And I think everyone's, really good at supporting each other as well. So it's just a really positive environment. And so, yeah, I think that's probably the reason that we've got such a core group that's been able to stay through. But as you say, that helps us in general. I mean, when preseason started this year, we weren't having to learn, okay, what structure are we going to do, or what does this look like, or what language are you going to use in this situation? We obviously took the new players under our wings and taught them those things pretty quick, but we were able to get straight into gameplay pretty quick. So that's, a benefit of having a group that's been playing together for the last few years.
I guess the one area in the team that has changed a little bit is the ruck department, which you are a part of. Aaron Hoare has retired and Liv Fuller has been placed on the inactive list for career reasons, which has left you and the new signee, Lily Pierce, as really the only recognised rucks on the list. I guess the question there is, will you two be sharing the load? Have any other players sort of chipped in over the off-season? How's the ruck sort of shaping up for the Cats this year?
Yeah, so you're right. That's obviously, that's changed a bit. I mean, Liv went to the inactive list pretty early, with some career opportunities, which is great for her. And yeah, as you've just mentioned, Erin made a bit of a later call, was just getting a bit hard family-wise, which is completely understandable. And obviously, like Erin was fantastic for us. She's an amazing person, really, really amazing person. And obviously she had a great height advantage. She was a great tap ruck, and she knew the craft really well. But at the end of the day, I mean, she didn't single-handedly get us to her to where we got to last year. So we're not too worried in terms of how it looks like going forward, because we've got such a strong team altogether that we know that we'll back each other in. So yeah, Lily and I have mainly been doing the ruck duties for pre-season. As for what it looks like once the games start, I'm still not sure as to, what they're going to do in terms of main ruck, support ruck. There's also a couple of other players that have chipped in as well, like Mel Bragg, Gabby Feathers. So
Oh, yeah.
Featherston, even though she's a more of a mid-size player, she has some hops, and she's got some actually really good ruck craft that she jumps in there every so often as well. So we've got, I mean, it's going to look a little bit different because Lily and I are not quite the height as Erin is, but we're both probably a bit of a stronger body. Athletically, we can challenge different rucks as well. So it is going to be different, but we've just got to adapt to that. And yeah, I feel like Lily's grown as a player as well a lot over the preseason. So I'm excited for what she can possibly bring to the role. And we've just got to, yeah, take it out there and just find ways to make sure we're competitive with the other rucks.
Yeah, for sure. And Gabby Featherston, I think, is one that a few people would be like, oh, that's a surprise. But I did know she had a ruck background as a junior. So I think a few people will be surprised by that.
Yeah, and she's done it a bit in the VFL as well, I think, and she can really get up there. And she's like, when she's on, she's a real beast. So yeah, I mean, it's just, it's just another little thing to have in the back pocket just in case you need it. So it's always handy to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a player who in the past has spent a bit of time in the ruck and I think will now be very glad that they aren't there is Claudia Gunjarka, who had a really good year in defence last year. So I guess seeing her transition is probably something that gives you enormous faith in your system and the fact that players can go into these new roles and succeed.
Oh yeah, just the way that sometimes the coaches can see the game and see what might be beneficial for certain players. I mean, Gunj was playing really well as a forward in the VFL and was, you know, came into the AFL originally as a forward. But yeah, the way that she was reading the ball and her ability to provide a really strong contest and get the ball out of the back line. And yeah, the way that she's shown herself as a defender has been unreal for us. She's been so solid. Her and Meg down there are big wall for us, which is really handy. So no, it's so good to see Gunj doing her thing. And I think even like this year she's fitter and stronger. And yeah, I mean she's got another season under her belt. So I know I'm excited to see what she can do for us this year. It'd be good.
Speaking of McDonald's, another player that I'm quite keen to hear about is Abby McDonald, the third of the McDonald's.
Yep, we've got a few McDonald's hanging around now. We've got a few Kates as well. We're doubling up on lots of names.
Well, she's not even the only AMAC, which is probably
Yeah.
a bit annoying, but she had an exceptional VFLW campaign, playing a bit as an interceptor, pushing up the ground a bit more. Is she a player that's likely to play a bit more of a prominent role this year, given she's probably been more of a bit part player so far?
I think so. And if you were to ask anyone in the team, right, it's a very common thing for us to be saying to each other and to the group how much we love Abby McDonald. She is a ripper. So she's worked so hard. You know, she didn't come in as a naturally fit athlete. She's just such a solid footballer. She's a smart footballer. She gives herself more time than what like she just looks like she's got more time than what she actually does with the decisions that she makes and her natural ability when it comes to the use of the footy. As you say, she had such an incredible VFL season this year, which was so good for her to just get some games under the belt and get some confidence back. And she's been working her butt off over the preseason with the running, and she's done some incredible things. And she's moved down this year. She's actually moving with
Nice.
living with G Rankin now, which has been really good as well. Just takes out a bit of that travel. But no, Abby's done some incredible things this preseason. I'm sure that there'll be a lot more game time for Abs, and I'm excited for her to what's to come. This is, you know, it's going to be another massive step up for her this year. But then even after that, I'm just excited for what she can put together because she's working really hard and yeah, super stoked for her. She's done well.
That's super exciting to hear as a Cats fan, because she's one I've been, following the career of, and I'm just ready for her to explode.
Yeah, and as I said, everyone just loves her. The way she goes about it, and she's just purely herself, and you just love her for it. So no, I'm really keen to see what she can put together for sure.
Nice. And we've talked about two of the McDonald's, so we may as well talk about the third. As the ruck, you've obviously worked with a pretty elite midfield group, including Amy McDonald, the original AMAC, and
Yeah.
Georgia Brispakis, Nina Morrison. I mean, it's such a fantastic group that's been building together for such a long time.
Yeah.
How have you sort of seen their growth across their careers, and how they're looking going into this season?
Well, as obviously I've, you know, had a bit of time in the ruck in the past, but to be able to come in, you know, I know that if I have to step up and take that main ruck role at any point, I mean, to be in there with the likes of AMAC, Prez and Nina. I mean, you got some pretty good people around you, don't you? So it feels you feel pretty comfortable going in knowing that, you know, at least to provide a contest and bring the ball to ground in some sort of vicinity of those girls and let them go to work. Because again, I was talking about Abs and the work she's put in. These girls were already at pretty incredible standards, and the way that they've been able to push themselves professionally and get the most out of every minute of every session. Nina is just another level of beast this year. She just is absolutely flying at the moment. I'm so excited to see what she can bring during games. Prez, there's been multiple occasions in our match play the last little while that, you know, bursting out of centre clearances and you know, putting it deep into really dangerous positions. And I feel like the girls, AMAC's really worked on her kicking a lot as well.
Nice.
And so rather than, you know, just under pressure, throwing on the boot and getting it as far as we can, they're getting really good at lowering the eyes and hitting some great targets and bringing the ball forward with a lot more method. But yeah, and some of the kicks that Nina's hit in the last few weeks is it's good to watch. I need to make sure I don't get caught ball watching, just watching what they're doing. I need to make sure I stay alert.
I'm glad I'm in the position I can be ball watching, but it sounds like it's a pretty good thing that you can basically just get a hand on it and you know you're probably going to look pretty good for doing so.
No, they do a great job in there, and it's good to have front row seats, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one of the other exciting things, speaking of lowering the eyes, is that, last year you had a very exciting forward line with Jackie Parry coming on, Chloe Shear doing what she does, but also the emergence of Lingi, Ash Maloney. Just how good can she be, I suppose, with another preseason? Because she looks sensational in her first year of footy
Mate,
and
she's just another like another level. They got here maybe a week and a half ago, and already in match play, she just is everywhere. Kenny as well, so
And I know obviously they've got great skills coming from the Irish game, but if you told someone that, that barely played a game of football going into it, you just wouldn't know. And you mentioned Kate Kenny, who I saw walking out of the Cats shop at the Bulldogs game with a very crisp looking new Cats scarf. I guess what can we expect from Kate Kenny this year?
yeah, I mean, just like the other Irish players, she's just a real competitor. Her athleticism is really impressive, and the speed as to which she's been able to pick up how to kick such a strange shaped ball is impressive. Like she's kicked some incredible goals already. She's playing in the forward line at the moment, and some set shots that you would not think that she's not used to the shape of
Wow.
a footy, that's for sure. So that's been really impressive to watch. But similar to the other girls, it's just that movement that they have, their explosiveness, and their just willingness to compete consistently. So no, it's been impressive to watch Kate.
No, that's so exciting to hear. Just two flaming red-haired Irish women just running around kicking goals in the forward line sounds like an absolute dream. Just in terms of that forward line, I guess the Cats team looks pretty fairly settled, got a very strong lineup and going to be pretty tough to break in, but did have a couple of bright young talents brought in through the draft. Chantel Mason, who seems like a really good long-term forward option as well, and father-daughter pick Bridie O'Rourke. So I guess how have they gone fitting in with the group this preseason? Are they probably more long-term prospects or have they made sort of a really immediate impact?
Yeah, the girls have done really well actually. They came in, which was probably handy for them. They came in before the preseason officially started, and we were doing some running sessions together or things. I mean, Bridie's got incredible speed, so loves to burn a bit of speed and get some run onto the footy, which is really exciting for us to play some fast, exciting footy. And Shawnee has hands of gold. She still has a bit of time to build up her body, and make sure she's still practicing all the movement patterns of the forward line. But when she can get her hands, she's a tall girl with quite long arms as well, and when she can get her hands on a footy, they often stick very impressively. So I'm so excited. I got to work with Sean a fair bit at the Falcons before she was drafted.
Oh, yeah.
And I always used to say to her, those hands are gold, and you keep working on that, and that's going to be huge for you in your future. And I didn't realize she was going to be my teammate. So how good is that? But no, it's been great seeing those girls do their thing and just really own their weapons, I guess. They know that they don't have to come in and be able to do everything, but they're coming in and really showing us what they've got. So regardless as to whether whether they're playing early or not, to be able to have them there if need be is huge for us. To have someone like Sean, if she doesn't play, say, the first game, to have someone like her as a possibility is unreal. So no, it shows that the team's feeling like we're in a good spot with players like that.
Yeah, so that's so exciting to hear about, like, young players being such quality depth in the list. And I think that's something Geelong's done quite well, is build a really good depth of players in recent seasons.
Yeah, and it's great for, especially like Sean's a local from Geelong Falcons, and so it's good to see players like that that, the club obviously has some really good long-term plans for. And who knows, she could come out and play round one, but that you've got, you're going to get a few years out of someone like that, which is really exciting.
Yes. And Speaking of exciting, the last question that we love to ask our interviewees is which players looking really, really good this preseason? We've already talked about quite a few of the players who are looking pretty good, but I want to get your tip for who you think's set for the real bumper year. And I will preface this question by saying that last year, Spud Sermon said that you were the player to look out for.
She told me that. I think she was trying to get a little job, which Spud is actually, she is actually looking really good, but I'll change it up because I know that sounds like I'm back. But her partner in crime at the moment, Bowie.
Oh,
So
yeah.
Bowie's obviously been a winger for most of the time. She looks like she might be sneaking up in a bit of a high forward role at times now. And I think her running at the moment and her pace and her chase down, like we've always known she's a great tackler. But for her to get involved in the forward line, I think her defensive pressure in the forward line, once the ball's on the ground, or once the if the defenders have it, they're going to be in strife with her chasing them. And she's working hard on, like the timing of her movements and stuff like that to really be involved in our attack as well. So I think Bowie's going to be a little energizer bunny out there for us. And she's the sort of player that can get everyone up and about. So hopefully that brings a good vibe around the group as well.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting with Spud and Bowie up front there. That's going to be a wicked combination, I
Very
reckon.
good. Yeah, they're a good little team, those two.
Very good. Well, I think that's probably all we have time for, but Kate Darby, thank you so much for coming on with us to have a chat, and good luck for the season ahead.
Thanks so much, Will. It's good to chat.
Thank you very much.
That was a great interview with Kate there. She talked about so many different players, gave so much information. You could just hear her excitement for the season to come as well. So, fantastic interview. Thank you for doing that one, Will. Now, back to the top five most fantasy relevant players. Liam, who have you got starting for us?
I've got a name that we're all pretty aware of from last season if you played, and that's Georgie Prespakis. Now, she had an epic beginning to the season last year. She started with 147 against the Western Bulldogs, which was before we realised that the Western Bulldogs were actually pretty ropey when it came to fantasy defence and also real defence. And from that point, she kind of failed to meet expectations. Unfortunately, as much as if you'd said at the beginning of the year, this is someone who through the year is going to average effectively 100, given where she'd come from as a third-year player, we'd probably all been pretty happy. But it was because she set expectations so high so early that it became really difficult to like modulate down what we expected from Georgie. So after that 140 plus score, she didn't really put anything up massive ceiling-wise, had a few scores in the 106s, the 107s. So I definitely think that there's still room for improvement here because she's been taking gradual steps forward, and we've seen now that she can effectively average 100 for a season. I think the question now is like, where does she go from here? Like, how does she get better?
Yeah, I was surprised to see her as number one for you because she's someone that, because she had such a high start last season, I feel like a lot of new coaches to AFLW Fantasy had high expectations, got quite disappointed, and they were pretty annoyed with some of the price drops. And even us, like having seen her for a while, we're a little bit like, oh, okay, we thought this was going to be a great 150 averaging season potentially after that first one. And then it didn't eventuate. So when I saw her as your number one, I was like, she's young. She got the best and fairest last season. She's got the ceiling. She had a lowish score there, but like I'm not seeing anything that says to me, this is the most fantasy relevant player at Geelong. Where are we seeing some of that improvement potentially coming from this season?
I think that improvement comes from her being better placed to handle the midfield attention that she copped after those extremely like dominant performances in the first 3 rounds of the year. So I think that Western Bulldogs really set, that in motion. And then it was a first half against Sydney at North Sydney Oval, where she was comfortably the best player on the park. And it took Tanya Kennedy in her first foray as a defensive midfielder to really try and shut her down. And I think that there's definitely something to be said for improvement in scoring can come when you are able to work more off those tags. And I'm banking on Geelong being in a better spot this year to be able to get their most important ball user into more space more often. And as much as they had success last year, I definitely think there were some games where Georgie was frustrated by the attention that she was copying. And so we don't like to bank on just like natural progression as a reason to pick somebody. I think this is not so much natural progression. This is more some experience in a very specific area that can set, you know, her scoring up better for 5, 6, 7 points of improvement.
Yeah, much like us and other fantasy coaches being excited with that first round, I guess the tag position was also excited and it hindered her scoring. So, yeah, I mean, if she's got some upside, that'd be awesome. Looking forward to it because we do love Georgie Prasparkas. Your player number two. I feel like this is going to be a broader discussion, but let's chat rucks.
You've really taken the suspense away from this one. It is a ruck and it is possibly the exact opposite of Georgie Prasparkas in that this is an undrafted player who we've never laid eyes on at the AFLW before and comes in pretty unheralded. And it's Lily Pierce, who we mentioned up the top of the episode. The reason we've got to mention is in the shortened AFLW fantasy seasons, we're always looking for as much value as we possibly can in the ruck line because of the speed of price movements. And the last couple of seasons, we've had some decent enough scoring options in the ruck. Now, projecting forward a little bit here through the entirety of our, you know, preseason previews, there's not that this year. Lily Pierce is shaping up as probably the only rookie-priced ruck option that is a genuine chance to play full-time, you know, ruck one role. And that's kind of what Kate Darby talked about. She looks like she'll be the key centre bounce ruck for them. So Lily Pierce will come into the year priced at 300K. Basement never touched an AFLW ball, even though she was on the list last year at Richmond. But she's also someone who's been basically the best tap ruck in the VFLW last year at Collingwood, averaging basically 33 a game. She also managed to average 62 fantasy points, which is nothing particularly spectacular to write home about. But I think that what fantasy coaches will like is she had in her final game at the level a game with 12 tackles. Now, she managed to do that, 12 tackles, but also that included only 4 disposals for a score of 92, which is extremely impressive. But it kind of leads me onto my cause for alarm and maybe just don't get too big too early about starting her as you ruck one. She's probably not a particularly natural accumulator of the ball. She does most of her work just at contests and probably isn't going to get involved that much in the transition game. And that's going to set a pretty low floor to her scoring. So she's going to be probably one of the most selected rookies we have this year because of that role and because of that price. And I think that therefore she's extremely important to discuss. But I'm not like, yeah, she's Matilda Schultz 2.0. We don't necessarily have that same, this is an elite talent. This is someone who is talented and in a great role. And there's a big difference.
Yeah, even though she was absolutely smashing those hit-out numbers in the VFLW with a max of like 42 or something. Unfortunately, when only counting for 1 point, that does not a great fantasy average make. And while she showed a bit of potential with the kicking as well, but I think she's the best option. And it is pretty exciting to hear Kate say they're kind of training together. With the potential small flag, though, about Gabby Featherston, which is not it. Really helping myself there. Can you say it?
Gabby Featherston.
If she's kind of rotating through there and Will's, of course, wild AFLW fantasy knowledge picking up that she used to be a ruck at some point.
Can I say one thing on this? It was actually my fantasy knowledge and I surprised Will with a Geelong fact, which is about the only time that's ever happened. She's 169 centimetres tall and she rucked as a junior. And I got that reading some old rookie draft reports back in the day. I can't remember why it was the case, but
wow.
Yeah.
Encyclopedic memory outdoes Geelong Nuffy. There you go.
Yeah, pretty much. So I definitely think, though, that there are some flags on her role. She's not coming in with this, yep, here's the golden platter to, you know, take every single ruck contest. Geelong are clearly aware that they're going to need to chop out. This is someone that isn't going to be given absolutely everything. This is not a superstar. This is someone that they're going to try and train that they see talent in, but isn't going to be given everything straight away.
Exciting, but... Exciting given the other options, I think, in context.
Yeah, it's contextual excitement.
Yes. Oh, someone else that's a bit of contextual excitement. I was very exciting to see the player listing on this one.
Yes, this is someone who, for us OG players of AFLW Fantasy, she sits very warm spot in our heart, and that's Beck Webster. So she was a defender back in season 6 and hasn't managed to keep that defensive position for the last 2 seasons. Mm. But she's going to come into the season, you know, priced relatively highly, given that, you know, we've actually got a whole bunch of defensive options. But the reason why she's ranked so highly for me is that I think that she, amongst most of the defenders we're going to talk about, sits very close to the possibility of a midfield role. I think that what she offers as a kick and as so what I think the midfield balance at Geelong is sometimes missing is that elite penetrating kick. I think that Georgie Prasparkas is definitely someone who looks to use her running capability to burst through stoppages. Amy McDonald is a handball dominant player. I think Darcy Maloney kind of sits somewhere in between there. And then Nina Morrison is a bit like Georgie in the way that she plays. I think what Beck Webster provides is a bit of that kicking penetration, and then also just some like out and out speed as well. So I do think that at some point she'll be added to that midfield mix. And I also think that even if we just take away the possibility of midfield time, Beck Webster showed herself to be someone capable of scoring 70s and 80s just as a halfback. And Geelong have an elite run for defenders to start the year. I think they're four good matchups to begin the season. So I think that even if you weren't projecting midfield time, I still think she improves on that 65, which she averaged last year, which included a whole bunch of games where she was coming back from an injury. She didn't come back until the middle of the season and didn't have a preseason at all. So she sits high on my watch rankings. Her role in the preseason and the match sim is going to be something I'll watch intently, because I will genuinely consider picking her, just because I think of all the midfielders, she sits the closest to a potential midfield role outside of maybe Isla Sheeran.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing about Beck Webster, season 6, she was essentially playing as a midfielder listed as a defender, and that was great value, like averaging low 70s. If she can do that again, listed as a defender playing midfield, that's already an easy like 10 points or so on her average. But like you said, whether she's playing defence or midfield, when she was playing more defensive as well, she's still getting those scores. So it's almost like there's no, given that she's got that listing now as a defender, it opens up a world of opportunities, but a lot of coaches might not know about it because last year she was a midfielder playing defense, the terrible combination, and not really up there. So I'm excited to see her, but I think it kind of depends on where it fits in with my team.
Yeah, and I think it'll also depend on what we hear and what we see in the preseason, because I do think that as much as I talk up her ability to bring something different to that Geelong midfield and Geelong halfback, she still had some really bad scores in the back half of the year. So she had a 46 against Richmond, which was a tough matchup, but then also a 30 in the final against Brisbane. Again, a tough matchup, but we don't love to see those kind of floor scores. So it's definitely a risky play. She's not a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination.
But I want her to be. Because I'm a big fan.
As do I. It would be nostalgia, you know, for 3 years ago, but that's still fantasy nostalgia.
On to number 4. We're really tag teaming between someone that we've loved for a long time and someone that we've not really thought about before. Back to the ladder.
You're going to be thinking about this player now, and it's Abby McDonald. So she's going to come in rookie priced. I think she's going to be at like priced at 28, 27. She's not played many games, previously, but the reason why you want to pick her is what she's done in the off-season, playing 7 VFLW games where she was comfortably Geelong's best player. She had ceiling scores of 123 and 149 in the VFL for an average above 90. She plays as a smaller defender and was drafted as such. She was drafted in 2022 at pick 55 and did have to build her endurance, which she'd struggled to do before then. That being said, I think given where she's priced at, given how few rookie defensive options we have, and the fact that, you know, Kate talked about how she's rated highly internally, I think this presents a fantastic option for us to pick for our starting size as a D5 or D6 if we really wanted to.
My first thought when I saw Abby McDonald sitting down at number 4 on the fantasy, most exciting fantasy players, I was like, oh, should have been higher. Like, this is the exciting option, I would have thought. Her AFLW season 8 and VFLW off-season scores are night and day. She had a 10 to finish her fourth game of season 8. And then absolutely, like, times 10 to get some of her more common VFLW scores, which is just a tenfold increase, is crazy. So, yeah, it looks like she's been played everywhere in the VFLW. Quite exciting. I really liked the phrase Kate used, which was step up this year. I'm like, oh, is this going to be a breakout? Like, is this going to be the season? So I'm pretty excited about her.
Yeah, I think it's she's fantasy relevant and she's exciting. But I also think that with rookies, you tend not to get too attached to specific ones because we know that the role can be sometimes inconsistent. But yeah, it's starting off the VFLW season this year with 103, 123, and then 140. Now, I've skipped over a 48, but that's against Darabin, and Darabin never have the ball. Darabin never have the ball, and it never really gets to the other team's defence, so it doesn't count as much if you have a bad score against them as a defender. So I'm really hot on picking her. At the moment, I'd say she's my D5, just because of how cheap she is and because of that defensive scoring. And she's got now a few years in the system too, and that's always a plus when you're trying to pick rookie price players.
Yep, I like it a lot. And then your number 5 is someone you've been a big fan of at the last season at least.
Well, yeah, I was a fan of, and she also burnt me a little bit just because I didn't see the ceiling that I wanted. So at number 5, I've got Amy McDonald. So really have gone no name, no name, no name, no name, no name again. So she's someone who was a premium
that
for
sounded
us
like the
year.
Same thing.
That was the point. Thank you for saying the joke for me.
Carry on.
What Amy McDonald can do is she's got such a great accumulation game. Her ability to find the ball once it hits the deck, I reckon she'd be extremely high for ground ball gets in the competition. She also lays a lot of tackles. So she's averaged above 7 tackles per game each of the last couple of years. What I do like in her improvement over the last couple of seasons is she's not lost her ceiling. So she's got a ceiling above 125 points. The thing that I saw that I liked last year is that her kick to handball ratio improved and her marking actually improved as well. So she'd previously been like a 1 mark per game kind of player. She pumped that up above 2. But the reason why I think she struggled again last year is she's extremely handball happy, which is understandable when you've got extremely highly rated young players like Georgie Prasparkas and Nina Morrison alongside you in the midfield. There's a tendency to overhandball or to try and find them with hands and then just be happy with that. I still think, though, that, you know, underneath all of it, Amy McDonald's still not a particularly old player. She's only in her 6th season. And she has a tackle game that none of those other midfielders really have. I still think that, you know, underneath the surface, there's 100 averaging midfielder there. It's just, can she put it all together for us? So I like Amy McDonald in some ways, but I also don't think I'm going to pick her for my starting side. She is an upgrade target for me. And I ummed and ahed on this pick for pick 5 for a long time. The other one that I really wanted to talk about was Ash Maloney, who I got to see in the flesh when they played Essendon in that final, and she was single-handedly the most dominant player on the park. She completely tore Essendon to shreds. She's got athleticism for days, and I think that she's a potential Anya Tighe clone. Now, I know that seems lazy. It's just like, oh, pick tall,
Irish
elder recruit who's Irish, but that ability to be so tall and so agile is pretty unique. And it's pretty selectively sitting with Anya for her ability to do that. And I think that's what Ashley Maloney could be. So just know that, yep, I like Amy McDonald. And I think that at some point she'll present an upgrade target, because I do think she's a 100-plus averaging midfielder at some point. But Ash Maloney was very, very close as well.
Yeah, and Amy McDonald being priced at 92, like that's a good chunk if she can get up there.
Yeah, 100%.
Building off that, though, off the three midfielders at Geelong, we've already spoken about Georgie Prasparka's pick
Georgie
number
Papapapa.
Then we've spoken about Amy McDonald pick number 5. For my host special, I'm going to go back to season 7 friend of the pod, Nina Morrison. I think that she... Oh, that. What's your face?
Oh, it's just... I'm just sad because I reminded how much she burnt us with her scoring in the back half of last year.
Yeah, but... You know what? I think she's great. I see her as a nice kind of cheaper option. She's priced at 84 versus like the 100 of G-Prez and the 92 of Amy McDonald. She's been on a ripper trajectory. If you look at her last few seasons, she's just gone, those averages have done like multiple steps up. And we heard from Kate in that interview, she's taken her game to another level. I hope that another level that she's going to is a 100 plus averaging mid. And the other thing I really like about Nina Morrison is that her ceiling up until now was 110 from a couple of seasons ago, might have been season 7, but in the finals game, she got 109, so she pretty much matched her ceiling, and that didn't go into her average coming into this season. So I think that she's a good contender. She's still young, still learning. If she can get that average up, she's coming in 84, if she can get that up to like 90, 95, I think she could be a good one.
Yeah, I think it's another one that I think deep down we all know that there's someone who can average close to 100 in there because she's got that tackle game. She's a really great accumulator. I think, again, though, she has a bit of the Nina Morrison's handball happiness about her and is not a particularly high mark player either. Now, it would be fascinating to see if that's just a Geelong thing and they're not a particularly high mark team, or that's not a point of emphasis for their coaches, or if this is just a Nina Morrison thing. But I think the fact that in against Hawthorn in round 10 last year, she had 25 hand passes, which is 34 touches for only 100 points, is impressive. And then in the final series in 3 games, she had 3 marks and 19 tackles.
Yeah. I mean, you were saying Amy McDonald loves a tackle. Nina Morris and Georgie Prasparka's also love a tackle. So I think we've got, I reckon any 3 of those, if you're looking for a mid-priced midfielder, Geelong's got a couple to choose from.
100%. Yeah. It's going to be another one where whichever one that I pick will be the wrong one, but I'm sure there'll be a valuable player to pick in
there.
Yeah.
I'm getting North Melbourne midfield vibes from this conversation.
Well, picking North Melbourne midfielders last year was the ticket to complete fantasy success, so maybe that's a good omen.
Yeah, I'll take it like that. Or you pick the wrong one and you're in trouble. Well, that kind of wraps up our Geelong review. You can check out our socials, Instagram, Twitter and YouTube for our Best 21 and our next episode that will be coming out shortly. We'll chat to you later.
See ya.